ringrazio veramente molto Silke, anche per lo sforzo che ha fatto di sintesi, invito ovviamente anche tutti gli altri a farlo, abbiate pazienza, perdonatemi. Mentre l'ascoltavo pensavo anche poi pubblicheremo gli atti, non credo che ne abbiano bisogno, ma non vorrei suggerire alla controparte delle modalità di repressione, perché alcune sono sconosciute, almeno non le conoscevo alcune per quanto riguarda l'Italia, quindi effettivamente non vorrei dire troppo alla polizia, che tra l'altro adesso è andato via, ma hanno avuto anche la simpatica e ospitale idea di farci visita la Digos, la cosiddetta polizia politica, prima era qua, quindi purtroppo non li ho salutati e chiederò scusa domani o lunedì quando li vedrò in tribunale. Volevo, ovviamente non perdo tempo, passo la parola a Claire Dujardin, una collega di Toulouse, mi sembra, giusto Claire, del SAF, è sindacato francese degli avvocati, credo uno dei più grandi francesi, associazioni forensi francesi se non sbaglio. Dico solo, per chi non la conoscesse, ha fatto tantissime cose, è stata anche l'avvocato della famiglia di Rémy, quel ragazzo ucciso in Francia durante le manifestazioni, e ci continua un po' a parlare di questa repressione europea e forse ci introduce anche brevemente nel mondo della repressione dei migranti.
Thank you. Good morning all. Thank you for the invitation. So I will try to give you some features of the French system, but we notice now that it's a general movement in Europe, because after the intervention of Italian and Germany, and we notice all these features like militarization, international networks, increase of repression and use of medias, and in France we notice these features too. So I will read my paper because it's not very easy to speak English. So I will try to read slowly, okay? So say if it's too fast. So in France, new tools of repression have clearly emerged over the past 10 years, even if overall repression has always been strong and very present in France. Police violence and legislative changes against certain social categories have always existed in France, particularly for minority people in the suburbs and against foreigners. We remember in 2005 riots that follow the death of two teenagers, Ziad Bena and Bouna Traoré, who were electrocuted inside an electrical station while escaping police control. And a lot of people are arrested after. 2,921 people were arrested and 4 people death among the population. The police officers were indicted for failing to assist anyone in danger, released during their trial in 10 years later in 2015. Overwhere the turn of the years 2000 with the President Sarkozy rise to power and his policy of figures, but above all the authorities' powerlessness in the face of new forms of social protest and the fear of attacks, created a context conducive to a very strong wave of repression in France. So my presentation will be in 3 parts. First, features, and then I will try to explain the difficulties in law and in the action, and then some proposition. So the features. One item is that the violence has increased, first in the context of police controls, violent arrests, and police custody. We have an association called ACAT, Association Against the Abolition of Torture, that issued a report in 2017 which identifies police victims and denounces acts of immobilization during arrests such as folding, ventral tackling, choking K. And there was a big case in France in 2016 that Adama Traoré, a young black man, was killed by choking by the police during the arrest due to the use of the ventral tagging technique. And the case is still under investigation, and no misconduct has been acknowledged for this case. In 2005, there were 6 deaths by the police, and now in 2017, there is 18 people were shot and killed by the police, according to association and independent journalists. Second item is that there are now many people targeted by this violence. So you have all the demonstrators doing traditional demonstration in major cities like Rennes, Nantes, Paris, Lyon, Toulouse. For example, in 2017, during the demonstrations against the labor law, nearly 800 people were arrested. Numerous orders banning demonstration were adopted. Heavy sentences were handed down for violence against the police, participation in gatherings, contempt, and rebellion. According to association, over 10 months of this year, there were 1,726 activists, demonstrators, revists, union members prosecuted in court. You have, in among the people target, you have the activists on the ZAD. We call the ZAD, it's the area to be defended. We have, in France, we have at Notre-Dame-des-Landes, Sivens, Bure. And as a reminder, major operation took place in the ZAD using grenades, mutilating an activist in Bure on the foot, an activist in Notre-Dame-des-Landes who had his hand ripped off, and a dead man in Sivens in October 2014, Rémi Fraisse, not mentioned the number of particularly serious injuries and the arrested raids, house visits, burned personal belongings, insults, and daily humiliation. It's a real war of attrition. I don't know if it's the good name. Real war of attrition that is being played out on this area, the ZAD. Then you have repression against the refugees in makeshift camps such as Calais, Paris, Porte de la Chapelle, Ventimiglia, La Roya, Briançon, with numerous expulsion of violence, burned personal belongings, and daily police violence. The Human Rights Watch issued a damning report in October 2017 on the violence committed in Calais against migrants. They list all the violence. The police use green paper spray on children, gassing of water, clothing, food, confiscation of beds and tents, daily harassment. Then you have the repression against the inhabitants in solidarity who supports the refugees and borders are now arrested, taken into police custody and prosecuted. With the establishment of the state of emergency in France during the two last years and in the context of so-called migration crisis, there has been an increase in prosecution aimed at preventing the expression of solidarity towards migrants, refugees, undocumented migrants. In France, we have the offense of solidarity in the criminal law, which corresponds to the offense of aid for illegal entry and residence that allows the prosecution of persons who are not sufficiently protected by law, such as persons who provide shelter, food aid, or border assistance to particularly vulnerable persons, such as asylum seekers or unaccompanied minors. You have the case of recently Bastien, Théo, and Eleonora, who were detained for participating in a demonstration in support of the Franco-Italian borders, and they were arrested. And you have all probably have the information about Cédric Héroux that Arnaud has been held in police custody for the 10 time, and you have 10 about around 10 trials have taken place in France in the recent months about these people. So third items that is important to know is that in the legislative level, the evolution of the text over the last 10 years also marks an important turning point in the terms of repression. In France, security has now absorbed all the freedoms. Between 1986 and 2014, there were 14 anti-terrorism laws that changed all the criminal law. A state of emergency was declared in France following the attacks of November 2015 and renewed until November 2017. Is that mean for 2 years we had this exceptional law, and this exceptional law had a windfall effect in tracking trade unionists, environmentalists, undocumented immigrants. And during COP21 in France, in Paris, many demonstrators were banned from entering and demonstrating. There were border controls were re-established in France. But we made an observatory to see all these effects of the during the state emergency, and about of the 4,300 searches, only 0.7% result in legal action. So it was really police attacked and kind of violence against a lot of people. So this states of legislative exception, which was to be used for exceptional reason in exceptional times, was de facto anchored in police practice to the point of being ratified by the drafting and adoption of the law of October 2017, which trivialized the emergency powers instituted under the states of emergency by incorporating them into the Code of Criminal Procedure after simply changing its name. So in the legislative arsenal now in force is really impressive. You have house searches outside ordinary law hours, extending telephone taping without judicial authorization, extending prosecutorial powers, extending protection and security zones in which prefects have broad powers, house arrests with electronic wristbands, investigation and professional restriction, closure of places of worship, generalized files, broadening the concept of terrorism. The justice reform planned by the government now goes even further by devoting a section to criminal procedures, further strengthening the powers of the public prosecutor office, simplifying criminal proceedings to the detriment of the rights of litigants, allowing the police not to be identified in certain proceedings. In addition to this legislative development, the government has acquire a particularly impressive military arsenal year after year for the use of the police intervening in demonstration on the ZAD and during searches. For example, in August 2018, the government has launched an order for 17 million euros for the supply of grenades and launch rifles. So, second point of my intervention is about the difficulties that we can encounter in France. So, I will just develop two of them. First, the police in France have broad powers and are not subject to any control by an independent authority. The public prosecutor is very powerful in an inquisitorial procedural system. The only body that control the police is the General Inspectorate of the National Police, is attached to the Ministry of Interior, may be sized off and conduct investigation into facts involving the police forces. it's the police who investigate the police. So there are very few prosecutions that are initiated. For example, I don't know if some of you have seen all the calling Benalla affair. That is the bodyguard of the President Macron that intervened during the demonstration with the police armband in his arm, and when he was simply an observer and beat up demonstrators and violently arrested one of them. And the General Inspectorate of Police, which had seen the video at this time, at the time of the incident, had said that it had not seen anything abnormal and considered it to be a legitimate and proportionate use of force. And it was only 7 months later, when it was discovered that the police officer was not, in fact, a real police officer, that this Inspectorate General concluded that there is a violence, abnormal violence. In the case of Rémi Fraisse, no policemen were charged. Two in the Adama Traoré case, the trial has still not taken place. So the prosecutor's office dominates criminal proceedings because it has the power to arrest, to prosecute, investigate, work closely with the police and request a hearing. Second difficulties, it's the legal framework for the use of force and weapons in France is very poorly defined and very imprecise. So the law enforcement may use force and weapons in different cases defined in the criminal law, but the self-defense is very often invoked by police officers to avoid this responsibility and very often recognized by the courts, despite the principle laid down by the European Court of Human Rights and the case law, which constantly reminds us that the use of their weapons in cases of absolute necessity and in a manner strictly proportionate to the threat. As happened in France, for example, the policeman who killed Rémi Fraisse, a 21-year-old young man killed by offensive grenade, launched in the middle of the night on demonstrators. It was in the ZAD in Sivens, and everything it was on the night. It was during the night, and the policeman launched this grenade on the demonstrators. And in this case, it was recognized as being absolutely necessary and proportionate in order to protect an empty site. The site was to build a dam, yeah. And it was empty, but there is demonstrators, and the policeman launches this grenade, and the judge said it's absolutely normal, and it was necessary to use this grenade. So The third part of my intervention is about solution or practice to combat this repression. Many activists and lawyers on the ground are questioning this practice and debating the means at their disposal to defend themselves properly, assert their rights, and continue to campaign. So on June this year, our colleague Etienne Ambroselli was arrested and his office was searched as part of an investigation open at a court against opponents of the nuclear waste landfill project in Bure. This arrest mobilized the French Lawyers Union, which came to support our colleagues, Etienne Ambroselli, and denounced the practice of the judge and the public prosecutor office, which were intending to weaken the defense of the opponents and to frighten people. Our colleague was being prosecuted in his capacity as an activist and not as a lawyer, explained the judge. However, not only is Etienne Ambroselli not on one side lawyer and on the other side activist, but both, and his indictment had the consequence of preventing him from contacting the other activists who had him as their lawyer. So a step was crossed in the infringement of the right of defense. With all this feature, the return of Notre-Dame-des-Landes and Sivens, the repression of trade unions, the observatory set up with the Magistrate Union, the Human Rights League on the state of emergency, the work done on facial control by the Discrimination Commission, it seems urgent to work collectively on these issues to put in place judicial strategy. So some ideas have been proposed. First, to bring proceedings before other courts. Very often, victims bring their cases before criminal courts. However, in France, the omnipotence of the public prosecutor's office and the limited resources given to the lawyer and his client are obstacles to obtaining satisfaction and compensation, especially since in criminal cases, it's an individual who is target and not a system. Thus, appeals to administrative or civil courts are underway and have yielded positive results. Other idea is that remedies are generally made by individuals individually when they should be made collectively to avoid reprisals and to have more weight. So victims of facial checks or victims of police violence organize themselves to seek redress and demonstrate that this is not an isolated act, but frequent and systemic act. Another idea is to work... The work is also being done within the legal team to share field experience, case law, and strategies between activists, lawyers, and doctors too. This work is essential to build a solid file enriched with testimonies, citizen expertise, photos, videos. The few trials that have been organized and concluded in France have been organized thanks to the video posts on internet. So in conclusion, I think it's an illusion to think that repression will stop because the system is in agony and needs to be authoritarian to survive. Social protest has taken many forms and it's no longer expressed only through strikes or demonstration. As lawyers, we have a role to play in this transformation, working upstream to train these activists, but also before the courts to denounce the dependence between political authorities and justice. As Geoffroy de la Gasnerie, Ertu Bourdieu, reminds us, saying the violence of the state and the law is the best way to reduce the general amount of violence. Thank you.